This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
This month, homeless people achieved an important victory in the BC Supreme Court, one that has been called life-altering. The court ruled in favor of a group of homeless people who were challenging municipal bylaws that displaced them from public places like city parks. In a decision delivered last week, Chief Justice Christopher Hinkson found that the City of Abbotsford bylaws violate Section 7 of the Charter of Rights and Freedom, which protects an individual's safety and security of person. He also denied the city's request seeking a permanent ban on homeless camping. Pivot Legal Society brought the case before the BC Supreme Court. It's the first time a group of homeless Canadians has been able to challenge the constitutionality of how they are treated and displaced by government authorities or police. DJ Larkin is a lawyer with Pivot Legal, and she joins me this morning. Hello, DJ. Nice to talk to you again.
Hi, good morning.
Congratulations on the ruling. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. I think it's a really important step forward.
Let's look first at the bylaws which the court found violated a person's right under the charter. What did the City of Abbotsford bylaws prohibit?
So the City of Abbotsford, like a lot of municipalities, actually had bylaws that prohibit people from being in any park overnight. So that's a developed park that we would think of, something with a lawn and a green space. And they also had three bylaws that collectively prohibit people from setting up a structure in any public place in the entire city. So essentially, there was a prohibition on sheltering anywhere in the city.
What did the court hear from the homeless people who were witnesses about the treatment that they faced by authorities as a result of their enforcement of these bylaws?
Yeah, I think what was really unique about this case is because we were able to represent a nonprofit society. It was the BC Yukon Association of Drug War Survivors who brought this issue forward to us and asked us to represent them. They were able to explain to the court not just what it's like to not have a shelter overnight, which is extremely important, and that was key evidence, but also to explain to the court what it's like to be constantly displaced, how exhausting it is, how impossible it makes it to be connected with service providers, how it's psychologically damaging to be told you have to move over and over and over again when really what you're trying to do is find housing.
And there were some pretty egregious instances of the authorities, I would call it attacking some of those camping situations.
Yeah, so there was evidence of the police pepper spraying the interior of two tents, and the officer on the stand did admit that he did that because he wanted that person to move on. When questioned as to where that person should go, he didn't have any ideas as to where that might be and really hadn't put any thought into it. All he knew is that he wanted her to leave. Another police officer admitted to cutting down a man's tent in February, in the middle of winter, even though he knew that someone lived there, and he didn't even think of where that person would go or what that person would do that night because his tent had been cut down. And city officials in 2013 used chicken manure to displace several people living across from the only emergency shelter in Abbotsford. And I think what's key to note there is the shelter in Abbotsford in 2013 was very high barrier. It had many, many people on its banned list, and the people who slept across the street from the shelter were exactly the type of people who weren't able to access it and had nowhere else to go.
I can't overstate how disgusting I think it is that people would put chicken manure, would spray the inside of tents. These are appalling actions towards people.
I was shocked when I first heard it. I had a moment where I had to take a breath and say, is this real? Is this real? Could this have happened to people? And sure enough, absolutely, it is real. And I think it's a real signal to us as a society that we have to take a look at the attitudes that we hold about people who find themselves living in the streets, and especially for government and police officials. We have to start questioning them on the perceptions that they have of people living in the streets, as in us versus them, or when police say that so that person is living outside by choice. We know that that's not real, and we know that that is a stereotype held about people living in the streets, and that it leads to acts of violence like this.
DJ, what dangers does this kind of, both the harassment but also the displacement, expose homeless people to?
The court found that displacement itself causes lack of sleep. It causes psychological harm as well as physical harm to health. It's exhausting for people, especially people who need to panhandle at night or go binning at night, so they need to sleep during the day. They're displaced basically as soon as they try to shut their eyes. It causes people great psychological stress. We heard from witnesses who had been trying to find an apartment for over a month, but they had been told by bylaws that they had to move so often that they were continuously moving and therefore unable to actually go and make any of those appointments. We also heard from outreach workers who said, I do my best to find people, but the more they're displaced, the less I'm able to offer assistance and the less I'm able to connect them with housing.
Last year, Abbotsford Council voted down a rezoning application for a supportive housing project for 20 men, even though the project had committed funding and there was donated land. It stunned me to hear that Abbotsford wants to criminalize the homeless and at the same time to stop efforts to provide housing solution.
So there was a memorandum of understanding signed all the way back in 2008 to provide three housing developments, two of which were not low barrier and were built. But Abbotsford struggled really hard with the understanding of low-barrier housing, taking people in who may have mental illness and are still active in their addiction, which is really, really devastating to people because what people actually need is housing, not necessarily treatment centers. So in 2014, in a tied vote of council, they did vote down a 20-bed facility for men that would hopefully have taken some people off the street. Since a change in council in late 2014, they did approve that building to be built in another location. Unfortunately, there's been significant delays in actually getting that done, so it's still nowhere close.
DJ, talk about Section 7 of the Charter, which protects individual safety and security of person. How did the court find that the Charter was violated?
Sure. So the court found that under Section 7, your liberty, security of the person, and life are protected. And the court found that the liberty interests of homeless people were engaged because the liberty to basically protect your own life is infringed by bylaws like these. If you have nowhere else to go, governments find that they don't have an obligation to provide housing for people, and so you need to have the liberty to save your own life. And with regards to security of the person, it's the negative health effects and as well as the negative psychological effects that the court found were unconstitutional. Under the Constitution, serious psychological stress that can be linked to state action or laws is a breach of your fundamental freedom, your fundamental rights that are protected by the Charter, Section 7.
Now, what happens to Abbotsford bylaws as a result? Are they completely gone?
The bylaws are not gone. They are sort of what you would call read down. So essentially, they are inoperative to the extent that they apply to homeless people who sleep overnight in a park or in any public space and set up shelters between 7 p.m. and 9 a.m.
Now, the court case was for Abbotsford bylaws. Does that mean any other jurisdiction will be prevented from enacting or enforcing this kind of law or bylaw?
It's our opinion that this judgment should apply to all municipalities across British Columbia. Yes, the lawsuit was about Abbotsford specifically, but if you look at the facts, meaning there's not enough shelter, there's not enough place for people to go, and everyone has to necessarily shelter themselves and rest, you find that the same scenario plays out across the province. The court was also very clear to say this is not the kind of thing that can be relitigated over and over again. It is far too difficult for people in these circumstances to make it to court, and we simply can't have this challenge city by city over and over and over. It's time right now for every municipality to take a look at their bylaws and make sure they're in accordance with the judgment.
Does the ruling make an explicit connection between the right to public space and a right to housing in Canada?
No, the court does not make a direct link to a right to housing. In fact, the court was very cautious to maintain that distance in terms of what is the court's role and what is government's role. There was a recent decision of the Ontario Court of Appeal dismissing a lawsuit that was actually seeking a real step forward towards the right to housing. It was a case brought forward saying that it is the Ontario and federal government's fault that we see homeless people in our streets because they've failed in their obligation to provide adequate social housing and supports. The court decided they could not hear that because it's a political matter that is best left to governments, which is a really unfortunate step back. But what this case did was clearly expressed, the court clearly expressed that they understood the root causes of homelessness, which include low social assistance rates and a lack of adequate low-income housing. And the court was really clear about finding that housing that people on low incomes can afford is often in deplorable condition. So it's pointing the finger at higher levels of government to say, we know why people are in our streets, and what the court could do in this instance was give them the liberty they need to protect their lives tonight. And now it's for all municipalities to be looking at the provincial and federal governments and say, you have to help us. You have to help us get people off the streets. We need higher income assistance rates, and we need more social housing.
It feels wrong to me, DJ, that this case had to be fought over municipal bylaws when housing and the security of the person are such fundamental and universal concerns. Why isn't the issue being tackled by provincial and federal governments?
I believe it's a lack of political will. Our Constitution doesn't acknowledge a right to housing, despite the fact that we've signed on to international agreements and conventions that say that there is a right to housing. We haven't made that law in Canada. So when people are made invisible, when homeless people are displaced every single day so that we don't have to see them, so that governments don't have to be made uncomfortable by them, all of a sudden it becomes very easy not to solve the problem. I think that another important step that this case takes is it stops people from being invisible. It stops them from being displaced out of the eye of the public and out of the eye of politicians who for a very long time have been able to ignore the problem and able to ignore the human beings who are being affected by their failures. So I'm hopeful that this creates a bit of political will for people to actually start solving the problem.
What do you hope will be the long-term impact of this victory?
I hope the long-term impact is that cities across the country realize that the answer to someone sleeping on your street tonight is never law enforcement, and it's always understanding services and ultimately housing. And I hope that it is absolutely the kick that municipalities need to turn to their senior levels of government, and that senior levels of government will respond. We have a new federal government right now that's made a lot of promises about housing, and it's time to hold them accountable about that. We have a provincial government who is very good at re-announcing the same project over and over again, but not very good at really investing in social housing, and it's time to really, really start turning our attention to the provincial government.
Well, DJ, I really appreciate you joining me this morning, and I want to congratulate you again on the victory at court, because I think this is such a critical issue, and it was great to see that case resulted in victory for the homeless people who brought it and for your organization who represented them.
Thank you so much. Great to chat with you.
I've been speaking with DJ Larkin. She's a lawyer with Pivot Legal, who brought and won the case challenging the constitutionality of Abbotsford's bylaws, which prohibit homeless people from sheltering in public places.